When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
.720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and honored to have on the line, multi-times James Beard Award winner, best-selling author, restaurateur, television personality, and of course, chef, the one and only Chef Rick Bayless. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much, Dane. It's really a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you on, and especially at this time of year as we close in on another Chicago gourmet. And so your connection with Chicago, you know, spots like Topolobampo, Frontera Grill, and others helped me to make Chicago really an international dining destination. I was talking with Phil Vitale a couple days ago, and he had said that when Charlie Trotters came in and you with Frontera Grill, it really changed the definition of what Chicago was nationally as a dining destination. We're all familiar with your passion highlighting Mexican culture and cuisine, but talk about Chicago, right? You know, always as a businessman, you doing your brands, but Chef Rick Bayless is the world's now, but every bit and always Chicago's very own.
That's all I ever wanted to be. I just wanted to bring a spotlight on Chicago because I think Chicago is one of the most interesting and beautiful cities in the world. And the fact that we had a dining scene here that was either sort of oriented toward chains or steakhouses. And I thought, we're better than that. We have so much talent here, but they're not yet finding an outlet for that. And that sort of ushered in when Charlie opened Charlie Trotters and we opened Frontera, and then followed suit a whole bunch of other chefs opening their own restaurants. Before that, we just didn't have very many chefs that owned the restaurants. And once we started, like, all contributing our personal visions to what Chicago food can be, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to come here and start eating. And then we really worked, I will say, a lot of us, to get local agriculture to be much more dynamic. Remember, when we opened Frontera Grill, there was not even a single farmers market in the city of Chicago. Yeah. And now, you know, we're just blanketed by them. And I think it was chefs coming together to support the farmers, the local producers, that also helped give us the right products to work with so that we could create a Chicago cuisine as diverse as it is. I mean, because you just think we're a city of neighborhoods and they're all very diverse and they all have so much to offer. And I think that's the coolest thing about this, the tacos and tequila event that we're doing this year for Chicago Gourmet, because we can put a spotlight on loads of different neighborhoods in Chicago, all that have exemplary places doing great Mexican food.
You know, you think about it, and Chicago is one of those unique places. It is a melting pot. You can spin the globe, and any place that you find, there's someone here doing that cuisine at an elevated level. When it comes to Chicago Gourmet, and you have been a cheerleader for it, always seeing sort of that big picture and a headliner since minute one. I've interviewed you at the first Chicago Gourmet, but yeah, I've also interviewed you at, you know, New York City Wine and Food and South Beach. You're a star and a headliner wherever you go. But talk a little bit about Chicago Gourmet. It doesn't lean on Top Chef. It doesn't lean on Food Network. It really is a Chicago event.
It is a real Chicago event, and I think that's what sets it apart. It's a homegrown event. It's not taking one of the networks and saying, oh, we're going to populate it with people, the stars that you see from Food Network or whatever. What we really do is we invite people like that to come and be part of it, but it's really focusing on Chicago chefs, and I think that sets it apart, and the nature of the way that it's put together. Unfortunately, like last year, we couldn't do Chicago Gourmet, which was really painful to me. This year, we're doing a different kind of Chicago Gourmet so that we don't bring massive amounts of people together in one place for a whole weekend. But I think that we can still capture the heart of what we're doing it. And it's just a whole bunch of events that are going to be spread out all over town. Our event is going to be on the Harris rooftop, which I think is really great. Yep. Because that's going back to the source, back to where these kinds of events have been since the inception of Chicago Gourmet. And I think it's a really cool thing that we're going to be able to resurrect tacos and tequila, which we haven't done for a few years now, and invite all these chefs doing amazing things from all around Chicago, and then also focus on the agave spirit side of things. We've got the alliteration of tacos and tequila, but there's also going to be mezcal there and sotol and other agave spirits that I think is going to make it really fun.
I wanted to ask you that. I've always been a great ambassador for Mexican cuisine and bringing it to the forefront and introducing people and educating in a lot of ways through the media and the television side. But talk a little bit about tequila. It feels like, as someone who covers this, and of course you're in and around it all the time, that like tequila is what, you know, we've all known about it. It's been around here forever, but it feels like it's moving into maybe new prominence, new popularity. And what are your thoughts on it? Is all tequila good, or are there some things that you should gravitate to? Just your thoughts on that and mezcal.
Oh, okay, well, what we have to do is, for all of our listeners, we have to step aside from that bad experience you may have had in college on spring break. That stuff, which is not 100% agave tequila, that mixed dose stuff can be, let's just say, detrimental to your health, and especially drinking it in copious quantities. But that's not the real tequila. I mean, the real tequila is the stuff that is made 100% from agave. And it's very regulated in Mexico. It has to be made from blue agave. It can be only made in the area around the town of Tequila, and sort of emanating out from there. There are five states that can produce it. But it's, when you get into the artisanal style of making tequila, the stuff is amazing. It captures not only the fact that these plants have to grow anywhere from 7 to 12 years to come to maturity, and in that time, they're developing all the flavor, but also when you do this roasting in a very artisanal small batch way and distilling in a small batch way, and then perhaps aging in oak barrels, it's a spirit that stands up 100% to every other spirit in the world. You just have to forget about perhaps an experience you had in your
youth. You know what? I couldn't agree more. And it is time for people to reassess and redefine. And that tequila, when it's done the way that you've described and some of those expressions being shared now, it pairs so amazingly with the food. So it isn't just for a shooter, you know, on spring break, right? This is like, you can really enjoy this spirit.
No, you can really enjoy it. And when you get some of the really high-end houses like Patron and so forth, and you see what they're doing and the way that they nurture along their product to create something that's unique to the world, then you have great respect for that. But you also experience it with the people that are making mezcal. So right. Mezcal is like the cousin of, or actually probably a brother or sister of tequila, because it's a distilled agave spirit. But instead of being made from one agave, it can be made with dozens of different varieties of agave. And when you, each one of them has a different flavor, and it's typically not an aged spirit. So what you get from the still is the capturing of the climate that it's grown in, the variety of agave, the length of distillation, the type of still that it's done in, because it tends to be an even more rustic and artisanal product. So a lot of it is distilled in clay stills, which a lot of people wouldn't even know existed, but they do exist a lot in Mexico, and it adds a special flavor, a certain earthiness to the end product. So we'll have different mezcales there to be tasting and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be, it's not going to be just tasting of tequila and mezcal, but it's also going to be cocktails. We'll have Mexican beer there. We'll have something for everyone.
I think the future is just so bright with all of that, and having you sort of lead the way and having it be highlighted and presented at this event is going to be cool. We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well. Last thing, and you have always been prolific and active, reaching out, reaching fans, educating, whether it was through the books or the television shows over the last year and a half. All restaurants have really had to find new ways to feed people or reach fans or connect. And so you're doing the YouTube channel. So tell us and let the listeners know, of course, we're talking to the one and only Chef Rick Bayless. Was this sort of like a workaround, you know, one of those silver linings of the pandemic, if people have found new and just kind of easy ways to really connect? Is it partly that, or is, you know, because you've done so much television work, is this just a really convenient way to just casually share, whether it's recipes, what's going on? Talk about the YouTube channel.